But hey, sadly for you, my family's not here. It's just me. They are back home getting ready for tonight, and I'll talk about that briefly. But here's my family, and I know that really this is more for me than you. It's like, hey, here, look at my baby. And you're like, yeah, you know, but you're excited to show off your baby. It's my family. It's my beautiful wife, Tara, with her cute little short blonde hair. And 2 years ago, she actually shaved it completely off to make a wig to hand to a child who had cancer in El Salvador. And so that was just a cool experience. And then she's kept it short ever since. And I just want to throw out, guys, if your wife wants short hair, my wife, like my wait time for her to get ready has diminished by half. And so it's pretty awesome. Those three boys, the one on the left is Lincoln. He has got such a fun personality. He is so outgoing. He will talk to everyone, loves music. He's learning how to play the keyboard right now. And then my middle one, 7 years old, Liam, right there in the middle. And then on the right is Eli. He's 9. And those two love sports. And my three boys, the nickname is the Piranhas. Because what they will do is if you invite them anywhere and there's any food, they will devour it and it will be gone. And so that's my beautiful family. They are getting ready because tonight is our very first pre-launch service for the church we're starting. And so as Kyle had mentioned, we're starting a church in Buffalo, Minnesota called Connection Point. Our heart is to be that connecting piece, connecting people to a growing relationship with Jesus and others. And so I just, if you know anyone in Buffalo, near Buffalo, like text them right now. Show up to pre-launch. It's 5 p.m. tonight. And we kind of have these different phases to starting this church. And so this is phase two. And we're going to do services the first and third Sunday night of the month. And then second and fourth, we'll do outreaches, small groups, vision nights, a lot of different things on that. So let me share something before I even get into my message. This is something God just spoke to me this week. I was praying because we're getting ready to plant this church, and I'll just be honest, a little frustrated at how slow it's come. COVID really messed up our plans. We wanted to be in phase three starting in October, and now tonight we're moving into phase two. A little frustrating and just like, God, you know, like it's been harder to build the team, raise funds. I mean, just it's changed so many people's lives and world and all this stuff. And I just, God brought me this story of, you know, where a storm comes and where do you build your house? Do you build it on the sand or do you build it upon a strong foundation? And both houses look the same until the storm comes and then it reveals where you put your trust. And in this season, it's been very revealing for many people and things have been exposed and things in our heart and in my heart has been exposed. But here's what I felt like the Lord spoke to me, because, hey, it's great when your house is built and the storm comes, but we're building the church. We're at the beginning stages. We're trying to build the foundation and the storm is coming. And builders, you don't normally build a house in winter. You wait for the right season. And I just felt like the Lord spoke to me, keep moving forward, keep building. It moves slower. It's going to be more difficult because you get hit with the face with hail and rain and all kinds of stuff. But the storm will eventually pass, and you'll be much further along than if you sat around and did nothing. And so it's okay where you're at. Maybe someone needs to hear that today. It's okay where you're at. Maybe you wanted to be further along with this or that or do this or to give this or whatever. And just move forward. Trust the Lord. Storm will pass, and you'll be much further along than you were if you did move forward, even though it's slower than you anticipated or wanted, than if you just sat around and did nothing. Well, I want to pray and I'll dive into my message. God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to be here. I pray that, God, your spirit would just be upon me and anoint me to speak the word that I feel like you've given to me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, again, I am so glad to be here today. I really hope this message inspires you and challenges you. The title of today's message is this, Turning Point. Turning Point. And when I researched that phrase, and when I did some deep dive into that phrase, and what I mean by that is I Googled it. Here's what it said, turning point. A point at which a decisive change takes place, a critical point, a crisis. A point at which something changes direction, especially a high or low point on a graph. A turning point. A point at which something changes direction. Have you ever been watching a movie and it's one of those suspense thrillers and you are trying to figure out who the killer is? Who done it? And maybe you're like, you're guessing with your wife or your kids or whatever, and you're like, I think it's this person. And you really have no clue. And then all of a sudden, one clue comes, about. One witness comes forward. And it's like, then it starts to lead you down the path where now it reveals to you and everyone who had done it. And you look back at the end of that movie and you're like, that was the turning point in the case. Or have you ever been watching a sporting event? And the sporting event, it's like one team's getting annihilated, which this year it's probably the Vikings, right? You know, just that's how the year's going. So one of the things, at least starting the church, I was thinking, Sunday night, 5 p.m., the season's almost over for them. So at least people will just forget them and come to church or something. But man, it's been a rough season for them. But thankfully, I'm a Seahawks fan. It's not been a rough season for us. So anyways, let me get back to my point. So if you've been watching a game and like one team's just getting annihilated and then something happens, like a turnover, a pick six, a penalty, something happens where like they get into a little skirmish and you might hear the announcer say like they just woke up the sleeping giant and everything started to shift and the momentum started to change and they started to come back to win that game. And you look back at that moment and that was the turning point of the game. My hope for today is this. For somebody, this message would be a turning point moment. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your parenting, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your faith, that today's message would be a turning point, a point at which something changes direction. Now, let me just say this. When I say I hope it's a turning point, I'm not saying that you're going to walk out of this place and I believe everything's going to be fixed after my message today. But I have had turning point moments in my life that I've had to work years on. But I look back at that moment and I realize that was the moment that everything started to at least change direction. I remember I was 19 years old and I was at a youth camp. And I didn't go for the right reasons. I went because of a girl. I didn't go there to seek God. I went there the wrong reasons. God got a hold of my life. I wasn't living for the Lord. And at that point, it was a turning point moment. Many years I had to work on that. I'm still a work in progress. I still got stuff I'm working. But I look back at my life and it was in that moment, it was a turning point moment. I look at my marriage and I remember when my wife and I were dating. And we were kind of in the I was in love with her. I don't know if she's kind of make that decision. Does she want to go further or kind of change paths? And then I wrote her this song and everything just changed. In fact, you can go ahead and kick it.
Tell me why ain't nothing but a thought.
Try and make you laugh, have some fun, but hey, for some of you, that's the first time you've ever sung Backstreet Boys in church. You are welcome, or you will wish you've never had that moment ever again in your life. But a turning point moment. What I hope for today is for someone, it's a turning point moment, a moment in which something shifts in your heart. I want to look at a verse that's been challenging me. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 3, and here's what it says. It says, "What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness." Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, as right standing with God. I think sometimes we get focused on the wrong thing. We want to know the answer, but we're asking the wrong question. Here's the right question. Whom do you believe? Whom do you believe? Sometimes when we're going through certain groups and you're trying to help someone overcome an addiction, a habit, or something that is very, very destructive, it's great to not focus on the addiction, the habit, the behavior, but to find the core lie that person has believed and kind of work through that deep-rooted things, because it's our beliefs that literally change in every kind of decision we make. It's coming from this deep kind of core belief. The right question is, whom do you believe? Because see, Adam and Eve, like what? God said what? You can have anything you want except don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan comes along and he says, did God really say that? And then he comes up with some other stuff and then they have to make a decision. Do they believe what God said or do they believe what Satan is saying? Sadly, they chose what Satan is saying. And I know if you're like me, I'm like, I would never do that. Anytime I'm disobedient to God's word, I'm doing the same thing. I'm not trusting what he said and what his word said and what he has spoken. Now, I want to read that verse again, but I want to read it through the Message translation because I really love how the Message translation words this. Here's what it says. But the story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. What we read in Scripture is Abraham entered into what God was doing for him, and that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you because here's where I get myself in trouble sometimes. I want my life to matter. I want it to count. I want to make a difference. I want to be like, hey, man, I did something for God. And here's where I get myself in trouble. Sometimes I start doing stuff for God and asking him to be a part of it. Hey, God, come bless this. God, be a part of this. Abraham entered into what God was doing for him. And at that moment, it was the turning point because he was trusting and believing what God said, what God spoke. Now, what it's referring to here is Genesis chapter 15. And God comes along and he's like, hey, I blessed you. And Abraham, like, it's great. You've blessed me, but I have nothing to give to my son. Like, I don't have a son. I have to, like, give it to one of my servants. And, like, man, and just an interesting side note, I think it's important to just kind of throw out here is Abraham was complaining to God, not about God. Just shows me a real relationship there. You don't have to be fake and pretend like you're happy with everything going on in your life and everything God, I mean, it's a relationship. Be honest with him, but complain to him, you know, and allow him to work on our heart and then allow him and that relate. Don't complain about him. And so then God says to Abraham, he says, yeah, you're right. I'm gonna bless you with a son. And again, we see this in Genesis 15:6. It says this, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. That word believe there is to support, confirm, be faithful. Support, confirm, be faithful. It's kind of like I was trying to, how do I help us understand this word believe? Because the Bible says faith without works is dead, you know, but you can also do works and not actually believe in your heart to the depth, the inner confidence, the trust. So I just had this picture of like my wife's stepdad, and he's building this Impala, and he was driving it out, and there was a moment where the brakes didn't work. It was a scary moment for him, and luckily I wasn't in the car with him, but man, he was scared, and it was a scary moment, and thank goodness he wasn't going around a sharp curve, you know, like or anything like that, and so it's kind of like if your brakes don't work, you got to go get them fixed. You're not going to go drive your car, put your life, people out there, your family, your kids, you're not going to go do that if the brakes don't work. And if you've ever had that moment where they didn't work, you go get them fixed, you might not go out there and drive 75 miles an hour right away. You might go in the parking lot and just go a little bit slow and tap on the brakes and see if they work. And I just had this thought, like, faith-wise, doesn't mean you don't have doubts and you're not a little bit scared and, you know, but you're moving forward. You know, just being real and honest with you, like, I mean, planning a church in COVID pandemic has not been what I anticipated or wanted, and there have been doubts. Like, we have our first pre-launch service tonight, and I'll tell you, man, part of me believes it's going to be one of the most amazing services ever, and another part of me wonders, is anyone going to show up? I'm still moving forward, though, because that's what I believe the Lord has spoken. But this is what makes it's so interesting to me, the story in Genesis 22. It makes it even more powerful. Because, see, Genesis 15, God promised him a son. And then Genesis 22, he tells him to sacrifice his son, if you didn't know that story. And take him up to to his place, lay him on the altar. And he does that, and God says, hey, no. Like, you know, an angel of the Lord says, no, you don't have to do that. Like, now I know you fear me. But what I find interesting is Genesis 22, verse 2. It's actually one of my favorite verses in the Bible because I have really did a deep dive study on this. And it says this, and it just shows me the journey in a walk with God. Like, no matter how long you've been serving God, it's a journey. Like, there's always more of him to know and more to grow in. And 15, God promises him son. Verse 22, verse 2, here's what it says. It says, I want you to take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. So many things there. First of all, take your son. I got three boys. You saw the picture? That would be a difficult request if that was the only thing in that verse, to take your son. But then he says to take your only son. Now, this isn't his only son. This is what was confusing to me. Because you remember, they got tired of waiting on the Lord. Wife said, go sleep with the maidservant. He did. They had a son called Ishmael. But this was the son that was promised to him in Genesis 15. So not only take your son, but take the promise, take your dreams, take your legacy, take your future, take everything that I promised to you. I want you to lay that down on the altar. And then it says, whom you love, which actually means to have deep affections for. Like, he loved his son. In fact, it could mean that he loved his son so much that it was starting to compete with his relationship with the Lord. And let me tell you something, God always wants to be first. And if God isn't in first, then nothing in your life is in the right order. He has to be first. He wants to be first. Maybe why that even chapter's in the Bible, because he's testing them there. Who's going to be first? How sad would it be to get to the end of our lives, to climb up the ladder of success, to sacrifice our time, our energy, and our effort to get to the very top, only to find out that we climbed up the wrong ladder. Turning point. I'm hoping that today's message would be a turning point moment for someone today. And there's a few things I felt like the Lord specifically gave me, turning point moments. And if you don't mind, I'll come down just for a little bit, kind of be in your space. One was this, maybe your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus before, and today's your turning point moment to surrender your life to him. And here's what the Bible says, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so all you have to do is say, God, here I am. Forgive me of my sins, and I ask that you come into my life and to be my Lord and Savior. Maybe it's a turning point moment for you. But maybe not surrendering your life to Jesus. Maybe you have given your life to Jesus Christ at one point. But honestly, if you look back, you've had better moments with him. You've been more on fire, more in love, you know, more in his word than you are right now. And it could be like in Joel when it says, return to me with all your heart. It could be that turning point moment. I got to get back on fire for the Lord. So I was in 19 years old, went to Panama City for spring break before I gave my life to Jesus. And me and my friends, we went out into the ocean, and we left our hotel, went out to the ocean, and an hour goes by, and we're literally like, where'd our hotel go? And what had happened was the current just slowly took us, and we just began to drift away. I mean, it was so easy to do in our walk with God. I miss a service, then I miss the next one. Then I go hunting, then I watch this show, 3 months go by, haven't been to church. Things are a little bit tight, I'll hold on to it this time, not going to give, maybe I'll not give next time, maybe I'll not, you know, maybe I'll throw in a little bit, slowly start drifting away. I'll say one that's kind of passionate, and I'll say it because I'm a guest and I get to leave, so... How many of you know there's an election coming up on November 3rd? I'm telling you, it matters. Policies matter. You should vote. But you want to know something that I think is a little bit scary right now? Is it appears that for so many Christians, they're putting all of their trust on November 3rd. And they're teaching their children that God's church will not move forward if the wrong person's in place. You know what we're voting for on November 3rd for me? The President of the United States. You know what? I've already decided in my heart who my king is. And no matter what happens, my faith and trust is in him. Maybe your marriage could be a turning point moment for you. It's not going great right now, but you're not on the brink of divorce. But if you continue to go on the path that you are, you will eventually get there. And the unhealthiness and the meanness and the lack of conversation, you know, and you just continue to go down that path, today could be a turning point moment for you where someone just makes the decision, hey, you know what? I am going to fight for this thing. I know it's not easy. I know it's been difficult, but I am going to fight for this, and I'm going to seek God for it, and I'm going to work through issues and all that kind of stuff, because what the devil's trying to destroy and what God intended, you know, for this, when we sat there and said, I do, like, it's a turning point moment. A lot of work in place ahead of you, but today could be that turning point moment. I'm going to throw out one more, because this is something that I think it's been something I had to work through this past year, and maybe for someone in here it really resonates. But unforgiveness. You ever had someone hurt you? You ever had someone do something and it kind of cut you to the core and you say, yeah, man, we should forgive them, but come on, let's just be honest. In your heart, you don't care much for them. It's painful and it's hurtful, and you got to be able to work through that. See, I believe being able to forgive and to let go of stuff is a great place for us to start moving forward. It's very difficult to move forward into my purpose and what God has for me if I'm continually looking backwards. It's not going to be easy. Maybe, you know, you make the decision today, but there's going to be weeks, months, a year of working through some of those feelings, but it could be that turning point. Moment. So when I was in high school, I was driving my car with my buddy. I didn't see a stop sign and I ran it. And I smacked into this other car. And cops came out and they actually thought I'd been drinking, which I hadn't. I did in my previous, you know, like before Jesus, but I didn't do it at that time. But they thought I was just acting a little loopy and weird because I actually broke the windshield with my head. And so I was. And totaled the car. The other person was fine. They called me, you know, eventually, and they're like, the car is totaled, but do you want to come get any of your stuff out of here? I had some CDs. I don't know what else I had, but, you know, here's what they were saying. Keep the valuable, leave the wreckage. That's what they were saying. Come get anything out that's valuable and leave the wreckage. And worship team, you guys can go ahead and come back up. I don't know about you, but here's some things I've done in my life. I've carried the wreckage. I carry the door that's all smashed up, and it's hard for me to let it go. And I just think someone needs to hear this, that, like, hey, best thing to do is to leave the wreckage, to leave the hurt, the pain, to leave all. But what could you take, and what could you learn, and what could you grow from? Because God can, you know, start to move forward again and start to dream again, start to have purpose again, start to have, you know, passion for his kingdom. Again, I think sometimes what happens then when we're hurt and we're struggling and we're going through that, we start to lose sight of our purpose because everything's focused on that pain. And a great indicator of healing is when you start to breathe life back into your soul again and your spirit. And you start to, Proverbs 29:18, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. You start having vision again. You start getting fresh words again. You start getting excited again. So we're going to go into this song of worship. And I just want to encourage you with this. What's your turning point? Maybe the Lord speaks to you something else, or maybe this message wasn't for you, it's for someone else. But what's your turning point? Maybe it's your faith and trusting God, and you're gonna like, okay, God, whom do I believe? I believe what your word has said. I believe what your spirit has spoken to me. I believe the promises that you've given to me. Maybe I have a child that's not serving the Lord and I'm starting to lose hope, but you remember 5 years ago in your prayer closet when the Lord spoke to you, I got this, trust me, and now you're not trusting, and so it's a moment for you to turn back and say, hey, God, I'm putting my trust. You told me. I don't understand it. I'm not going to try to take your place. I'm trusting you. You got this. You're going to do so. I don't know what it is, but I'm trusting you. Maybe you used to be on fire for God, but now it's like hard enough to get you to church every once in a while, you know? And it's a turning point moment to say, like, I got to return. I got to get back. I mean, God has something for me. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe there's some unforgiveness that you just need to begin the process of letting go and saying, God, hey, I it hurts. I can't do it on my own, but hey, I'm just trusting you. And hey, I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to go in week after week, month after month. I'm willing to have deep conversations and phone calls and all that kinds of stuff. But hey, like today I'm making that decision to turn. I don't want to keep going in this bitterness, anger, frustration, but I want it to turn today. I don't know what it is for you, but God does. I'm going to ask that you stand on your feet. And God, I just pray right now as we worship you, your Spirit's here, you speak. Let our ears be open. Let our heart be soft. It's amazing to me how God, you can speak to each one of us exactly what we need and what we're going through. So God, here we are. Kind of like in that story in Genesis 22 and verse 1 where it says, God says, Abraham, and he says, here I am, Lord. He already said, yes, God, whatever you're going to tell me, it's already yes. And that's kind of what we're doing, Lord. Here I am, God, speak. No matter what it is, speak. And let us enter into what you are doing for us. Not trying to do things for you and asking you to be a part, but what are you doing for us? And that will be the turning point moment when we believe. We trust you and we trust your voice and we trust your word. In the name of Jesus.
How many in here would say, today, I want this to be a turning point for me? Who would you say that's me? I want today would be a turning point. Whatever that is, you know what it is. Here's what I want to do. I want everybody to just bow your head and close your eyes for 1 minute. Maybe you're in this place and you say, today, my turning point is surrendering my life for the very first time to Jesus, like Justin was talking about. If you're in here and you have never given your life to Jesus, you've never trusted him to be your savior. You know, the Bible says that we can have salvation. When we move on from this world, we can be with him for eternity. And all we have to do is believe and trust and follow. And if you're here this morning and you've never made that decision, and you say, that's me, I want to make that decision for the very first time, would you just put your hand up so I can pray for you? Just put it up really quick. Say, that's me. If you're online, you can do this as well. There's a button there that says raise your hand or a button that says respond. Like, click on that. We want to be able to pray with you as well. Anybody in this place that says, that's me, I want to give my life to Jesus for the very first time today. All right, here's what I want to do. I want us all to pray together. Let's pray this prayer. This isn't magic words, right? These aren't magic words. This is a heart thing. But this, when we pray this out loud, it makes it more real. Like we're speaking straight to Jesus. So let's pray this together. Pray, dear Jesus, I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Help me to believe in you, to continue to move towards you. I pray that today is my turning point. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's celebrate that together. That's awesome. Best decision you can ever make. Now, before we head out, here's what I want to do. I want to pray for Justin and his church. Their very first pre-launch service today. We're going to pray for them. And also, if you would like to contribute to them getting up and moving, just because they're doing pre-launch services doesn't mean they got all the finances they need. And it's Mission Sunday. So if you want to specifically give to our missions fund and also to help Justin get his church moving, I mean, you saw his passion. Like, people in Buffalo need to hear this man. So let's help him out. If you want to do that, you can, again, use your offering envelope or just in the memo of your check. You can put missions and drop it in in the offering boxes. If you can give online, just make sure you, again, go down and make sure you select missions as your fund. But don't miss an opportunity to be a part of getting something like this going. Like, it's an amazing thing. Let's pray for these guys, and then we'll head out. God, I pray right now for Justin and Tara as they lead this church in Buffalo, Minnesota. God, we pray for tonight. God, I'm excited. My brother is going to be helping with the children's ministry there, too. That is awesome. I am so excited for this church. Lord, I pray that you would show up tonight, that people would come, that they would be moved, that everything would go smoothly and be worked out. But God, more than all of that, Lord, I pray that your presence would be felt, that people would experience you in a powerful way, that this church would go into this community and start turning things upside down for your kingdom, Jesus. Move in a powerful way, we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Thank you so much for coming today. If you want to pray, you can stick around and pray at the altars. Otherwise, you are dismissed.